We have two scripture readings tonight. The first is Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, if you're using one of our blue pew Bibles, it's found on page 46. And we are reading the entire chapter. Exodus chapter 3, then, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord our God. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and all the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then moving over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, and you'll find that in your pew Bible on page 894. And I'm going to lengthen this reading as I've wrestled with this text. I want to reference quite a bit of this dialogue. And so I'm going to begin in verse 12, and we will read the rest of the chapter. I know it's a bit lengthy, but a pretty vicious dialogue is here recorded for us. And in saying that, I hope maybe some of the sharpness will come out to you as we read it together. One of the sharpest dialogues, I think, that Jesus has with the Jews and the Pharisees, especially on their side. John chapter 8, then, beginning in verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it's written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They didn't understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you've not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let's pray together. O Lord and our God, we cry out to you now that you would give us understanding in these things. That you would help us to see that Jesus is loving his audience in telling them the truth as the truth incarnate. That he did have hard words for those that would justify themselves as the great I am come in the flesh. And Lord, may you cause our hearts to marvel at the beauty of Jesus and at the way he's willing to love us into the truth. And so be with us now, for we pray in his name. Amen. There are many, there perhaps all of them, these I am statements of Jesus that are precious to you. And there are staggering statements about who Jesus is. I am the great shepherd, he says. And what a joy, what a comfort to us that he is. But you know, the great I am statements of Jesus also say something about us. Yes, they're precious. Yes, they're amazing. They're staggering that he would be willing to be a shepherd for the sheep of his pasture. But it says something about us. It says that we're sheep, for one. Secondly, it says that we're sheep that need a shepherd. I'm a sheep, I have to admit. And I'm shepherdless on my own, I have to admit. I need a shepherd, I have to admit. They're hard things for sinners to admit about themselves. And no sinner will admit them about himself unless sovereign grace breaks into their heart, unless the grace of humility breaks in and teaches them the truth that they are a sheep, a wandering sheep, who needs to be sought out and saved by the great shepherd, who delights to seek and to save the lost, who picks the lost up and puts them on his shoulders, and he comes back to heaven with this lost soul saying, "Rejoice and be glad." And so the I am statements of Jesus are precious to us, and they should be. But let's not forget that they say something profound about us. They say something profound about him. They say something profound about our need. They say something profound about his supply. And we have a couple of I am statements here in John 9. I am the light of the world, Jesus says in verse 12. Another, may I say it, metaphorical I am, a statement of what Jesus is like. Yes, there are I am statements of identity, who Jesus is. And there's statements of what Jesus is like. And then there is a statement at the end of John chapter 8 that I'm going to call an absolute I am. It's a statement that Jesus utters in a very dark place about who he is in his absolute being. They're not all like that. But in John 8:58, it's exactly what he utters. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And it's nothing less than a statement of divine identity. He is calling himself one with God. He's calling himself God. He's saying that the I am who I am of the Exodus 3, of the deliverance through Moses of the people of Israel, that is who is talking with you. I am is talking to you. But you see, in this dialogue, there's serious problems. There's serious problems, and it's not just the way the Jews are talking to Jesus. Did you see how sharp it was? The Jews were talking to Jesus in a very, very sharp way, even those that claimed to believe in him. And the reason is because the things that Jesus was saying, the truth of what Jesus was saying, was offensive to them. Because it was saying something about them that they hated. It was saying something about them that they didn't like, that made them uncomfortable. And so there is this amazing dialogue between Jesus and these Jews, some were Pharisees, some were believers, in which he was willing to ferret out all the ways his audience was willing to justify themselves. That's what's going on here. The Jews were willing to justify themselves on religious grounds. The Jews were willing to justify themselves on ethnic grounds. The Jews were willing to justify themselves on moral grounds. And in the midst of it, Jesus is not willing to let them justify themselves. And so he keeps speaking the truth. And what I want to do is I want to work quickly through this dialogue to see these ways that they justify themselves. And don't be surprised if you see a bit of yourself here. In fact, I hope you will. I hope you will. Because the temptation to self-justification at the hard words of Jesus is just as real for us. It's just as much a temptation for us as it was for them. And so notice then, Jesus begins in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So do you catch the implication of Jesus' words there? He's saying that no one else is the light of the world. He's saying that he is, which means his audience, they themselves are not light. They are certainly not lights of the world. Secondly, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Implication, if you don't follow me, you do walk in darkness. If you don't follow me, you do not have the light of life. What did they think about that? What did the Pharisees in particular think about that? Did they say, oh yes, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Let us bask in your glory. They were offended. They were offended at the hard saying, so to speak, of Jesus. And so they pose what I'm going to call a religious self-justification. The religious self-justification that he's bearing witness about himself, and that's a no-no. You don't do that. And so he goes on to answer their objection, the way that they are religiously justifying themselves, that they can dismiss what Jesus is saying because his witness can't be true, because it doesn't jive with their understanding of witness bearing. And then they go on. Look at verse 33. As Jesus continues this dialogue, says some staggering things to them with all of the implications, and we don't have time to look into every one of these here. But notice what happens even after saying some of these things, many believe, in verse 30. Jesus goes on to say to those that have professed faith in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He's willing to wonder about the genuineness of their faith. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. And so, yes, they've professed faith in the truth of what he's saying. But he's saying, you know what? You can't just be hearers of the truth. You must be doers. And so abide in my word. Then you'll truly be my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Implications, if you don't abide in my word, you are not my disciples, even though you might say you believe. Implication, you won't know the truth if you don't abide in my word. Implication 3, and therefore you are slaves, Jews. You are slaves because you don't know me, the truth that sets you free. And so they throw up an ethnic self-justification. What? What are you talking about, Jesus? We're not slaves. We're offspring of Abraham. We haven't ever been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? They're unwilling to take the criticism. They're unwilling to hear the truth that it is only in Christ that true freedom can be found. And so Jesus goes on. Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so they throw up another ethnic self-justification. Abraham is our father, they say. And he goes on to address that by saying, no, he's not. And then in verse 48, they say, well, you must have a demon then. Another part of an ethnic self-justification. But it also doubles, in my opinion, as a moral self-justification. They say, no, Jesus, we don't have to listen to you because you have a demon. So you can't be telling us the truth. No, Jesus, we don't have to listen to you because we are the religious right. No, Jesus, we don't have to listen to you because we're the sons of Abraham. We're not Samaritans. We're not fatherless. No, we don't have to listen to you. And so the Jews are saying over and over and over, Jesus, we don't need you. Jesus, we don't need your word. You are a blasphemer and a lunatic of questionable origin. And as he is unfolding the grandeur of who Abraham really was, and that it's not bloodlines that matter, it's faith lines and obedience lines, they question his reasoning when he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And this totally tips the scale. This man must be a lunatic. There's no way he knows Abraham, saw Abraham, or can pretend about what Abraham was glad about. And so the Jews say to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And then we come to this statement, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. And it's absolutely amazing because he's not just trying to tell the religious leaders of the day, the Jews of the day, who are willing to justify themselves, that he just was before Abraham. He could have said that. He could have said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I was. But that isn't what he says. No, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And this is nothing less than Jesus' self-identity as God, one with God, as the great I am of the Exodus. And we know that because of their response. Finally, this statement tips the scale, and they are ready to stone him, the capital punishment of their day. Because what was he doing? What he was doing was he was claiming to be God. And they knew it was a claim to divinity, that it was blasphemy, and therefore he was deserving nothing less than death. Because Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is the I am who I am come in the flesh. Because Yahweh is the God who's always existed and never will cease to exist. And Jesus has always existed and will never cease to exist. And what is amazing is that this statement then casts its shadow backward through the whole chapter. Because the one speaking to the Jews is, I am, come in the flesh. And when he says, I am the light of the world, he means that's where the light came from. It came from me. When God the Father said, let there be light, it happened because all things were made through me. And I was there in the beginning. And so light sprung into being at the word of God's command because I am the word and through me all light was created. You see how it casts its force backward? Whoever follows me, the great I am, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Because I have the power, I alone have the power to give light. But it's more than that. He's also saying, I am the great I am who is able to make sure that you will not die in your sins. I am the one who therefore has the authorities to speak on my Father's behalf and always do the things that are pleasing to him. I am the one who has the power to keep you abiding in my word, to make sure you know the truth and that the truth will set you free and sanctify you. Indeed, you will be free and you'll never be enslaved again. Because Jews, whether you like it or not, you're enslaved to sin. You're enslaved to Satan. And only me, the great I am that was before Abraham, can set you free. And so Jesus is saying something that is quite profound. And I don't pretend to understand it fully. But Jesus is saying that I am one with the Father, that I am the great I am, come in the flesh, and that therefore I will not fail to do everything that I have come to do. And my word will not fail for everything that it was appointed to accomplish. And I will make sure all those who are mine will hear my voice, will come to me, and they will become sons and not slaves any longer. And what is amazing here is that the great I am of John 8:58 overlaps so well with Emmanuel, God with us, that we looked at this morning as we're considering titles and names for Jesus. Because Jesus is saying here that I am the God who promises to be with his people. And I am the one who is the Word made flesh that is speaking to you on my Father's behalf. And what is amazing to me is that there are many places in scriptures in which Jesus self-identifies as I am. And some of them are so amazingly comforting. Look at Matthew 14 for one example. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 is a favorite passage of mine because I love seeing the way Jesus loves his disciples. He sends them, of course, after he feeds the 5,000, he sends them back to the other side in a boat by themselves. He goes to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was a long way off. The wind's against them. In the fourth, which is last watch of the night, he comes to them walking on the sea. And when they see him, do they bow down and worship and say, Jesus, it's about time. I'm so glad you're here with us now. No, they totally freak out and they call him a ghost. And what does he say to them? They're crying out in fear. Does Jesus say, you know what, you guys? You guys can drown. I'm done with you guys. If you can't recognize me, I don't want disciples like that. The wind and waves can have you because I don't want people who can't recognize me, and I don't want people who call me names, and I don't want people who are crying out and terrified in fear when they see me. Absolutely not. He says to the fearful, take heart. Ego eimi. I am. I know the ESV has it is I, but the Greek is ego eimi, and it could be just as easily and rightly translated, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. I don't think that Jesus is just saying here, guys, it's me. I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying, take heart, I am. Don't be afraid, meaning I am the God that's created wind and created wave, and I am walking on it to you, and it's going to continue to do my bidding. And as we, of course, know that he does get in the boat, the wind ceases, and it is at that point that those in the boat worship him, saying, truly, you are, what? The Son of God. A statement of divine equality. And there's more. We won't go into them, but there are other wonderful examples where Jesus says in very comforting and encouraging ways, I am, and places in which Jesus is willing to make the boldest statement about his divine identity in the darkest of circumstances, of course, not the least of which when he's being interrogated on what we would think of as Maundy Thursday in the court of the high priest. Jesus himself is the great I am, and he is the one who comes in the flesh that he might dwell with his people, that he might shed light upon his people, indeed that he might set his people free, never to be enslaved again. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we give thanks to you for your word. And we thank you for the way the words of Scripture point to the word of Scripture, your Son, our Savior, who is the light of the world and who sets us free because he is the great I Am. Lord, as we look back on this year, may you fill our hearts with joy as we have seen the great I Am making every difference for us. And as we look forward to the year to come, may you encourage us that the great I Am will continue to be with us, drawing near to us, keeping us free, keeping us sons. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.